Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm your soldier of love, Joe Donahue. It is very nice to be back with Book Picks and to have two incredible booksellers with us to tell us about the picks they have for us during this holiday weekend. It's a favorite part of the show for me because we get to talk to incredible people about incredible books, and it's just so much fun. This week, we welcome Jackie Callahan from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Hello. Glad to be here.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much, as always. And Joan Grenier from Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you here. I always think of, and Jackie, you've been here for a long time, but Joan started with the show. When we started the show doing Book Picks, Joan was one of the original booksellers.
Wow.
And came in, and it's been it's been a thrill to have you the whole time. We're coming up next, is it, I think 25 years next year.
No, is it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Wow. So thank you for being with us, and thank you for being here today, and thank you for all the great work you have done over the years. So we'll let you begin.
Well, I'm going to start with a mystery because it's summertime and people love to read their mysteries. And one of my favorite authors is Anne Cleves, and her new Vera Stanhope novel is coming out in August. It's the 11th. And people may know Vera from the mystery shows on PBS.
Yes.
And I love her. She wears a trench coat. She's a kind of heavy set older woman with a floppy hat and an old Land Rover. And she is a grumpy old lady, but she's very smart and persistent and extremely knowledgeable. In this book, of course, since they're homicide detectives, there's a body, and it's found by a dog walker on the common outside Rosebank, which is a care home for troubled teens. And the victim is Josh, a staff member there. So then we go on. There's a new member of the team. There's Joe, and Rosie is the new member. And the only clue they have is the disappearance of a 14-year-old from the care home, and that is Chloe. And it's partly set it's all set in northern England, in Northumberland, but it's also set way out in the country where the title, I think I didn't mention it, is The Three Dark Wives, and that's ancient standing stones.
Mm-hmm.
And there is always an annual event called the Witch Hunt. So there's local folklore, the witch hunt, and of course the possible murderer is out during the witch hunt. So it's a very exciting time during that time. And I think if we get it back on, if we get it on TV, it'll be really cinematic too. So but Anne Cleves is always spotlighting something, so she's spotlighting the care homes for teenagers that are really in bad shape in England. So we find out about that, and I think people will really enjoy this mystery from Anne Cleves.
Anne Cleves, The Dark Wives, and it comes out on August 11th, I believe is what you said. Terrific. Jackie.
So the first book I wanted to talk about is called Nothing, John Cage and 4 Minutes, 33 Seconds. This is a kid's book, a picture book. In August of 1952, at the Maverick Concert Hall in Woodstock, New York, a musical composition by John Cage was performed by pianist David Tudor. And that song became one of the most controversial musical works of the 20th century. And writer Nicholas Day and Caldecott medalist Chris Rauschka bring this story to life, if you can imagine, in a picture book. Do you know what happened on August 1952 at the Maverick Concert Hall when David Tudor sat down?
No.
No.
I was only 1 year old.
Nothing.
Oh. Nothing.
Nothing. For 4 minutes and 33 seconds, he sat there, and the composition was the sound of silence, literally.
Oh, I think I saw that last Thursday night.
And oh yes, I get it.
No, this,
I was going right to Simon and Garfunkel, but
no.
Paige wrote this composition when he was beginning his study of Buddhism. Okay, and it was a completely radical work. What is silence? What is music? Can silence be music? Can music be silence? These are the questions in this cool picture book for kids. There's a short biography afterwards. We are so thrilled that on July 27th at 11 a.m. at the Maverick Concert Hall, we're going to be celebrating this book with the writer and the illustrator.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It's called Nothing.
And
it's, you know, what's great about that is that, like, I don't know that I fully, like, I have to wrap my brain around that idea. I think it's great to write a children's book to figure that out. That's really fun.
It's so good.
Yeah. Nothing is the name of the book. John Cage and 433 by Nicholas Day and Chris Roshka. And the event happens on the 27th at the Maverick Concert Hall. Joan.
I'm going to nonfiction, and we're going to the occupied West Bank. This is a book called The Day in the Life of Abed Salama, Anatomy of a Jerusalem Tragedy by Nathan Thrall. And it won the 2024 Pulitzer Prize for General Nonfiction. It was named a best nonfiction book in 2023 by many, like by Time Magazine, Economist, New Yorker, Mother Jones, and many others. Nathan Thrall is a writer and journalist, and his essays have appeared in many, many magazines and newspapers. He spent a decade at the International Crisis Group, where he was director of the Arab-Israeli Project. Originally from California, he lives in Jerusalem. What are the challenges faced every day for Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank? This book describes that. This is a busload of kindergartners from the West Bank. They are on their way to a park. Because of the separation wall and the different roads that Palestinians and Israeli Jews drive on, they're on a very neglected road, and the bus goes off the side of the hill. And also because of the situation in the occupied West Bank, the Israelis don't come to help, and the people who come in the ambulances are trying to get through checkpoints and trying to get into hospitals in Jerusalem. And anyway, it really details, he interviews a lot of people, and it details this tragedy, which actually happened 10 years ago. The book is gripping, educational, and breathtaking. I highly recommend it. I learned so much about the day-to-day life of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank.
The name of the book is A Day in the Life of Abed al-Salama, and it is, 2024 Pulitzer Prize for General Nonfiction.
Right.
I remember that, sort of. Jackie.
Next book is called My Mama Cass, and it's by Owen Elliott Kugel. As many of you may know, Cass Elliott was a rock star. She was charismatic. She was wisecracking. She was one of the singers from the Mamas and the Papas that helped define the sound of the 60s, the sound of California. She was massively talented. Even after the Mamas and Papas broke up, you know, she had this really interesting career. She subbed for Johnny Carson.
Absolutely.
She had her own variety shows.
That.
She had a solo career. She died when she was only 32 years old, and she left behind a 7-year-old daughter named Owen. And this is Owen's memoir of her mom, and it is a memoir that is a love story, and it's a mystery because she's debunking some of the misconceptions about her mom and also really portraying her as just this, like, incredibly strong, ahead-of-her-time woman. You know, she talks about the complex truths of Cass's life, how Cass continuously dealt with very uncomfortable, difficult situations with humor, always deflecting them, always kind of reaching higher. Her story, you know, when I was reading this book, I was thinking, like, Mama Cass is kind of like Barbara Streisand. Like, she had a real will to power to be a star, and she was. This is a story told with love, pride, and devotion. And if you want to hear more from Owen, we are so thrilled that we're going to be doing an event with her July 20th at Mountain View Studio in Woodstock. Owen Elliott Kugel is going to be in conversation with Martha Frankel. It's at 4 p.m., and we really hope you all can join us.
My Mama Cast. By Owen Elliott Kugel. The event is the 20th at Mountain View Studio. Interview by the great Martha Frankel. Cool stuff. All right. Joan.
If I could sing, I would start California Dreaming, but I can't.
We can do it. Let's harmonize.
I'm not sure it would be harmony. But that sounds like a great event. My next book is Everyone Who Is Gone Is Here. The United States, Central America, and the Making of a Crisis by Jonathan Blitzer. He's a staff writer at The New Yorker. He's won a National Award for Education Reporting as well as an Edward R. Murrow Award. And in this very long book, it's 400 and something pages, he interviews a lot of people from Central America about why they came here, about what was going on, like in El Salvador in the 80s, where there was a military government in control and was torturing and murdering people, and along with weapons from the United States and training from the United States. In that 12-year war in El Salvador, over 75,000 civilians were killed. One of the people he talks to is Juan Romagosa, who was a medical student in 1980 and treating poor people. And he was taken into custody. He was tortured. He ended up in a coffin for 2 days. He thought for sure he's going to be dead, but he had some family members in the military, and they were able to get him out, and he eventually got out of the country. He was in the United States for several decades, working at clinics for undocumented immigrants. And the title of the book comes from in 2002. He's finally able to testify at a trial of two of the top military men responsible for not only his torture, but the torture and murder of many El Salvadorians. His testimony helps convict these men. And the title of the book comes from the trial when a juror asked to see the wounds of the three plaintiffs. And Juan, to quote Juan, he said, "So many scars in El Salvador, and we have the privilege to show ours. Everyone who is gone is here." The book goes on to describe what goes on in Guatemala and Honduras, and also the sanctuary movement in this country. So I could talk about this for, you know, a half hour, but that
really
gives you an idea.
It's a good solid book, and a lot of great information in it. Everyone Who Is Gone Is Here by Jonathan Blitzer. Jackie.
I have another music book. There's
excellent.
So many music books, great ones this year, and this is definitely one of my favorites, and it's Chris Stein's memoir called Under a Rock. And it's about his life growing up in New York City, becoming a musician. It's the story of Blondie, how that band formed. It's about the New York scene in the late 60s and 70s. He has so many entertaining, cool stories in this. If you've read, like, David Byrne's memoir, How Music Works, that was one of the things that kind of Chris brings up in here, which is like, what, and not in an explicit way, but just like, what are the ingredients that make something new work, you know? And it's like cheap rent, artists. And it's, New York is, in the early 70s, is what it is. It's crazy. It's a mess. And Chris knows everybody and is able to, with Debbie Harry, of course, from her band initially, the Stilettos, form their band. You got the whole trajectory of Blondie in this book, all the really good things, and then all the really rough things. Chris's illness, his substance abuse disease, ultimately kind of coming out on the other side of that. And it's just really fantastic, especially if you love reading about the New York scene. Highly, highly recommend it. And we are thrilled that Chris is going to be doing an in-store signing with us on July 27th.
All good stuff. It's a great book called Under a Rock by Chris Stein, with a signing on the 27th of July. Joan.
Well, the next book is History of Sound by Ben Shattuck. He's the author of Six Walks in the Footsteps of Henry David Thoreau, which was a New Yorker best book of 2022, along with other accolades that he got. I don't often read short stories. I'm not clear why. I think they might be too short. And not always memorable.
On the story. Well, that often is.
But
is
Ben Shattuck's stories have changed my mind.
Okay, good.
This is a brilliant collection of short stories set in New England throughout the centuries in various locales and sometimes with a connection to another story. The stories are so different, but the first story and title of the book floored me, and it's just an amazing story. It starts in 1916. Two young men spend the summer traipsing around the countryside of New England collecting old-time songs. These recordings resurface many years later in 1984 when a box of 25 wax phonograph cylinders, I'm not even sure exactly what that is, but are found in a house in Brunswick, Maine. And one of the young men, Lionel, is now 85 and living in Cambridge, Mass. Listening to these recordings vividly brings back the emotions of that long-ago summer. Powerful and moving story. And a film of the short story is in production currently and hopefully available next year. Ben is going to be joining us on Tuesday, July 23rd at 7 p.m.,
The History of Sound, stories by Ben Shattuck, who is just a great writer. Very, very fun to read. The History of Sound. All right, Jackie, you're up.
All right. Next book, I feel like everyone's going to be talking about it in the month of July because
yes.
This is one of the big thrillers of the summer, number one. Number two, it's by a fantastic author, Liz Moore. Number three, it's all set in this area, which is so fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a little Saratoga, a little Albany, a little
Union College.
Union College. We go up to the Adirondacks, of
yeah.
course, which is where the main story takes place.
Exactly.
And she's an amazing writer. And yes, yeah, so go
and
on.
By the way, it's called God of the Woods.
Comes out next Tuesday, I believe.
It came out yesterday.
Yesterday. I'm wrong. Okay, go ahead.
And so, anyway, it's the novel opens up in August of 1973 at Emerson Camp. And a counselor discovers that a 13-year-old Barbara Van Laar is missing from her bunk. And Barbara was, is not the first member of her family to go missing. Her older and departed brother, Bear Van Laar, disappeared. And so this is a mystery trying to find where Barbara is. The narrator is Tracy, her bunkmate. It is a wide-reaching novel, talks about the counselors, talks about the kind of sort of cosseted and coddled Van Laar family. It's a little bit gothic. There's a mysterious hermit-like person, but, someone who everyone thinks did the murder. It takes you all over the capital region. It's such a fantastic, fun book. And I know all of you out there are reading it. I gave it to one of my kids, who's a counselor at Adirondack Camp. And she is passing it around to the other counselors.
Great stuff. It is God of the Woods by Liz Moore. And is going to be joining the Golden Notebook and the August Book Club. And going to be at Odyssey, too.
Yeah.
Yes, July 17th at 7 p.m. in conversation with Margot Dwalney.
Excellent. God of the Woods by Liz Moore. And Liz will be on the show week after next. Or maybe I think next week to talk about your event and another couple events. So, yeah.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yay.
Swift River Essie Chambers. This is one of my favorite novels of the summer so far. It is set in Western Mass and not too far from where we are. It has two timelines. One is 1915 and the other is in the 80s, 80 and 87. Diamond Newberry is a teenager in 1987, and she's the only biracial child in her town, a struggling former mill town. And Essie Chambers grew up in Greenfield, Massachusetts, so we see a little bit of that in the book. Her father has been missing for 7 years, and her mother wants to collect the insurance money, so she's hoping they can declare him dead. They don't know what happened to him. Diamond is extremely isolated. She has like one friend in town. At the same time, Diamond is secretly receiving letters from her father's family. She's never met these people, and she becomes aware of her African-American ancestors and what happened in the town in 1915 when all the African-Americans were forced out of town and most headed south. Her town became a sundown town, which I didn't know we had sundown towns in Western Massachusetts. But Essie did the research, and she found that Turner's Falls, which is next to Greenfield, was a sundown town. So this novel describes the many challenges of being the only brown person in town, the racism, both subtle and flagrant, that Diamond faces daily. She is secretly learning to drive so that she and her friend Shelley can escape from town. Essie Chambers is an author and award-winning independent producer. She earned her MFA in creative writing from Columbia, and she was a producer on the Oscar shortlisted documentary Descendant, which was released by Obama's Higher Ground production company. So this is her debut novel. We had her recently at the store. She was fantastic, and I really highly recommend this book. I love historical fiction, if you haven't
picked up on that over the years, but that's all right. Swift River, a novel by Essie Chambers. Very exciting.
It was a Jenna pick for those.
Excellent.
Okay, my next book is coming out at the end of the month, and this is a memoir, and it's called Fe, and it's by Shalom Auslander.
Oh, I love his work.
Me too.
Really?
What does that mean, that title?
It means
weird
yuck.
Stuff.
It's yuck? Yiddish for yuck.
Oh, Yiddish for yuck.
Yeah, it's the cousin of meh, fe.
Fe.
Fe. Like, I feel meh after all the fe going on in politics over the past couple days. But so in this new memoir by Shalom, you know, Shalom grew up in a dysfunctional family in an ultra-Orthodox community in Monsey, New York. He had an alcoholic father, a guilt-wielding mother, and, of course, an overbearing God. And we've heard about this before in his previous memoir, Foreskin's Lament. But now, as he reaches middle age, he begins to suspect what's really the source of his problems is the story indelibly planted at him at an early age, which is the story of Fe. It's the origin story of man, made of dirt, imperfect. Fe. So in the memoir, Shalom goes through his journey of trying to, like, deal with his demons as usual and rewrite that story. Part of it takes place in the Catskills. Part of it takes place in Los Angeles. Some of it involves Fillmore Seymour Hoffman. And, of course, Arthur Schopenhauer. Some drugs, Wolf Blitzer, all sorts of things. It's funny, irreverent.
Are those two separate things? Yeah. Because I want it to be some drugs with Wolf Blitzer, but it's not that.
Well, you'll have to read the book and find out.
All right.
Hopefully Shalom will do an event
Very
with
fun.
Us. I hope.
Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh.
So we won't get to the last two books that you have. However, those are on our website, and all you have to do is go to wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable to find out the full list. GoldenNotebook.com to find out what's happening at the Golden Notebook. Opendoor-bookstore.com to find out what's happening at Open Door. Our great thanks to Jackie Callahan and Joan Grenier for being with us this morning. Thank you both. We'll be back.